This is After the Gridiron, a podcast featuring interviews with retired football players. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Before we get to the episode, please make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Today, another player shares his incredible football journey with us. It talks about his life after the gridiron. You're going to love it. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of After the Gridiron. I'm your host, Lyle Green, and today we have, as our guest, Dominique Curry. So Dominique played 4 years professional football. Three of those were in the NFL. Started out with the Rams in 2010. He signed there as an unrestricted free agent, and finished up in the Arena League. He went to the University of Cheney University, won the HBSUs, had a great career there. He was a three-sport athlete, so a talented athlete there. He played football, basketball, and track. So we'll talk a little bit about that as we go along. And now he's a teacher back in the Philadelphia area, teaching eighth grade, and he's also coaching football as well, giving back to the kids, coaching wide receivers at St. Joe's, which is a nationally ranked team there in Philadelphia as well. So, Dominique, thanks for coming on, and welcome to the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No problem. All right, so I usually start off the episodes by asking my guests to say something about them that most people don't know about them. So what would that be for you? What's something about you that most people don't know about you?
My father, my dad, he was my basketball coach in college, and my aunt was the women's basketball coach at the same university. And my cousin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my cousin played for the women's team.
Oh, wow. Athletic family.
Yeah, it was a family affair.
Nice, nice. All right, that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's nice to have family around when you're at school. A lot of times you have to go away and you don't have anyone close by, but for you that wasn't an issue for sure. Okay, cool. So, let's go back to the beginning and talk about when you started out in football. Obviously, like I mentioned at the top, you were a three-sport athlete at college. So when did you start football, and talk about your start in sports in general?
I was always around sports just because of my dad who played professional basketball overseas. He went to North Carolina Central University, where they won a national championship in basketball. And then my aunt, she was the number one scorer and rebounder at Temple University. So I've always been around sports, but I didn't start football until age 11 or 12. And
okay,
I wasn't any good. Only thing I could do was catch. But as far as playing the actual game, I wasn't good at all. I was bad. But I'll catch the ball, but I might fumble after I catch it, but. So, it'd be caught, but
one step at a time. Yeah.
Yeah, one step at a time. I just kept working, and then I ended up having my appendix removed. So that gave me a year off after my first year of football. That gave me a year off, and I actually put on weight after the surgery. And when I came back the next year, I was bigger, stronger, faster, and I just was playing middle linebacker and tight end at the time. And okay. I just kept going. I mean, I started playing basketball in high school, and I started running track in high school. And at George Washington, we were a pretty good high school team in the Philadelphia area. And they let me play football, they let me play basketball, and I ran track.
Okay.
And that just kind of propelled me to college, where I went to Cheney, because I was highly recruited from Hofstra University, a lot of smaller Division I AA schools. I received a couple offers to play outside linebacker, but I felt like wide receiver was my true position. And that's what made me go to Cheney. play wide receiver and play fourth. Yeah.
Nice, nice. So, yeah, before getting more into your time at Cheney, let's go back. So, you said you didn't start till 12, and then you played. You didn't start the other sports till high school. So you didn't play any sports at all up till 12, until you were 12
correct.
Years old.
Correct. Till I was 12 years old.
Oh, cool. All right. So a late bloomer. So, what got you into football? I know you said your dad played basketball professionally. What made you start off in football?
I was a Jerry Rice fan growing up. I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't play actual football, but I would play a lot of street football, and I was truly unstoppable. I mean, I loved the way Jerry Rice ran his routes and caught the ball and exploded after the catch, and I just would mimic him anytime we were playing football.
Nice. Yeah, that's something that most kids and a lot of kids have is someone that they idolize and inspires them when they're young. And I guess Jerry Rice was that person for you. And it definitely can't go wrong with having a person like Jerry as someone to look up to. He was such a hard worker, and you saw what the fruits of his hard work produced as a professional. He's obviously one of the greatest, if not the greatest, receiver and one of the best football players of all time. So yeah, to emulate somebody like that is definitely can't go wrong doing that. All right, so so you got into football and started playing those other sports. So, what kind of led you to Cheney University? Yeah, you mentioned being recruited by those other schools. So the fact that they would let you play all those other sports, is that why you chose Cheney, or what was your reason for picking them?
Yes, that was as well as I was really getting recruited as a linebacker or defensive
end. The position as well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I just wanted to play offense. I didn't really see myself being able to really put on the weight to play linebacker or defensive end or tight end. And
yeah.
I just was in love with the wide receiver position. So when it came down to it, I was getting recruited from Villanova. I received letters from Michigan, Wisconsin, Syracuse, and they were just recruiting letters. But Hofstra University, the school that Marcus Colston went to, they were yeah. really. I was talking to them all the time, and their coaching staff had left. So when their coaching staff left, it kind of was that was really the school that I was going to commit to. And when their coaching staff left, it was like now I'm back to square one. So by my dad being the coach at Cheney, we always had to talk that if all else fails, you can come to Cheney for free.
You come there. Yeah.
and that's what I was also recruited by Delaware State to play football and basketball. I was recruited there to play football and basketball. But the funny thing was when I went on my visit, one of the football coaches ended up saying that I wasn't good enough to earn a scholarship. I could be a walk-on, but I wasn't good enough to earn a scholarship. Yeah. Funny story about that is, going into my senior year at Cheney, he became the coach at Cheney.
No way.
Yep, he became the coach at Cheney. Oh, wow.
So you got a little different perspective of your abilities from at that point, I'm sure.
Yeah. He had I'll get into that, but he had a different perspective about that.
Yeah. All right, so you ended up going to Cheney. So your dad didn't try and push you at all to come and play for him at all? Or was he just kind of hands off and letting you decide where you wanted to go?
He was hands off because he went through the same process when he was coming up, and he didn't want to feel like I was making decisions for him or because of him. So I didn't commit to Cheney until late. I mean, almost around graduation time from high school. Because we were just waiting to see if there was going to be another school to offer. And Townsend, they were offering me, but they offered me at defensive end. So I didn't want to play that. So all those schools that was offering the defensive positions, I kindly said no.
You said no, yeah, okay. Okay, so let's talk about your time at Cheney. You mentioned playing for your dad. So what was it like playing for your dad? Was it was it a tougher experience? Was it harder on you, or was it the other end of the spectrum? Was it a little bit easier for you, knowing that he was there for you?
I'm going to say it was easier for me because I've always worked hard. He knew that whenever we had workouts, I was there. I was there before workouts. I would stay after workouts. Same thing with practice, early to practice, stay later after practice. And going into my freshman year at Cheney, leading up to football season, I was still playing basketball. So even during training camp, I actually would practice in the morning, do everything football, and then I played in a basketball league called the Sunny Hill College League, where it was plenty of guys from the area, from the Philadelphia area, that were Division I high-level basketball players. They played. And I would leave Cheney and drop to Temple University to play in those games, and then come all the way back to Cheney, wake up the next morning for workouts, do all of my football stuff, and whenever I had a game, I just followed that regime.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how do you keep up with all that activity? It must have been a very tiring and exhausting schedule for you.
I would say I love competition. I love competition.
Okay.
I would even in high school, I would play. I would have a football workout in the morning. I would do a basketball workout, and then I would even swim, just to always push myself to see how far I could push my body to go, but in a safe way.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So you mentioned you did track as well at Cheney. So was football your favorite of the three, or was it something that you're just the best, end up being the best at ability wise? Is that why you chose football? What was the situation there?
Football. I was the best at football. A lot of people say I was better at basketball, but I just think that I knew for me to make it professionally in basketball, I was a long shot. I was good, but at my height, at the way I played, I don't think that I would have been anything outside of maybe low level overseas, just because I was 6'2", 6'3", but by me playing at the Division II level, I was a small forward. And if I was to play professional, I would have needed to be a point guard or a shooting guard. And well, I had the wide receiver height, the athletic ability, and I had the good size, but I was kind of slow. So by me being kind of slow, that's what made me start running track, because I started track as only a long jumper and a triple jumper.
So, oh, really? Okay.
All I did was just jump, because I love jumping. So I only did long and triple jump. But going into my senior year, I ended up getting to the speed where I can run in the pin relays, and I actually did run in the pin relays. And I was a part of the 4x1 team, and I ran the open one, the open two. And that just helped me learn how to transition my speed from track to football.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't hear of guys that do that same thing. I kind of did that my last year at college, kind of trained with the track team. So, yeah, doing that, training with the track, definitely helps your speed and helps you develop the right techniques and things that help you with your speed, and definitely can transfer over to other sports, and in this case, football for you. So, yeah, definitely a good thing there. So, was there a point where at Cheney where you kind of knew that you might have a chance to go to the NFL? Like, I know you went as an unrestricted free agent, but was there, on your senior year, was there talk or at least a chance that you might get drafted? What was the your experience there with going to the NFL?
Actually, my freshman year at Cheney, we weren't pretty good. We was basically the doormat of the PSAC, which is the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference, Division II school.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Yeah, we were not good at all.
Yeah.
But we played a school called Bloomsburg University, and they had Jari Evans that played guard for the Saints in the Saints Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He was playing at Bloomsburg, so there was scouts that came to the game to watch him versus Cheney. And I played very well, and I had an assistant coach at Cheney after the game come up to me, and he just simply said, "Dom, keep working. the Bill Scout was here and they brought up your name. And when he said that to me, I don't know if he was lying. I'm not sure, but that's what he said to me. And after those words, I just realized, like, I have to turn it up. I have to turn it on.
Nice. Yeah, they never know what kind of inspiration and what kind of good deeds you can do just from simple words. So like in your case, those different words that the scouts are keeping an eye on you, kind of stuck a trigger in your mind, like, wow, I have a chance, and kind of propelled you into what you end up doing. So yeah, it's always good to say these things to people and to say positive things to people, because you never know what kind of effect it's going to have on their lives. So all right, so you end up going to the Rams as an unrestricted free agent. So talk about the draft process for you. I think you did leave Cheney, I think you mentioned before going to NFL. So just talk about going from college ranks up to making it with the Rams as an unrestricted free agent.
Okay, so I ended up leaving Cheney. I eventually went all conference in all three sports, scored 1,000 points in basketball.
Oh, wow. Impressive.
ended up going, like I said, all conference in all the sports. And going into my senior year, I decided not to play football. And it was because of the coach from Delaware State telling me to my face,
right.
Good enough to earn a scholarship. And he was at Cheney. And he's trying to, do everything to keep me there, because he kind of got wind that I was going to leave, because going into my senior year, my basketball coach ended up taking a job at a CIAA school, which is Center Point Interscholastic Athletic Association. He ended up going there, and then they fired the track coach. And then they fired the football coach. So I'm sitting at Cheney. I have no head coaches. And me and my dad had a conversation, and he said, he said he was going to leave too, but he said, if it's up to me, if he would like to put in his name for the interim position, if he does that, I'll stay. So the decision that we made was, I wasn't going to play football. I was going to play basketball, run track my senior year, and graduate, and then use that last semester of eligibility somewhere else for football. So when that happened, it was like the recruitment process over again. I was talking to every school in the conference I played in, every school. And I narrowed it down to three, which was IUP, which is Indiana University of Pennsylvania, California University of Pennsylvania, and Edinburgh University. I didn't decide to go to IUP because the only thing that I had asked was that throughout the course of the basketball season, I just wanted to focus on basketball, focus on my schoolwork, and they just kept contacting me. So that kind of made it difficult, because I didn't want to seem like the person that's going to be ignoring phone calls and not talking, but I was trying to just focus on the task at hand. And Edinburgh, it was just slightly too far. I knew I wasn't going to have a lot of family out there, if no family at all. And it was going to be tough for my family to travel out to any games. But it was a quarterback named Trevor Harris. He actually plays in the Canadian League. And me and him became real good friends. The next thing that I wanted was, I wanted to go to a school that I can start my graduate schooling and major in something, because I got my undergrad in geographical information science. So the schools I was looking at had urban planning as a master's program.
Yeah.
And California University of Pennsylvania had urban planning as a master's program. So my decision was to go there, and they were nationally ranked Division II school.
Okay.
The problem was, when I signed there, I'm going to say 2, maybe 3 weeks after I signed and made that decision, they told me that they dropped that program. So now I'm stuck at school. Yeah, I'm stuck at the school. I have to just figure out what I'm going to study and I ended up getting hurt. I broke a bone in my foot. Wasn't getting any playing time. Only played special teams. Finished the year with 4 catches, 1 touchdown, 100 yards, and it was just very struggling for me because I was so far away from family. I wasn't playing. I was always getting hurt, and I just felt like my dream to play in the NFL just kept slipping away. Because going into my junior year at Cheney, I was a top 100 wide receiver in the country, no matter the level. And to sit out a year and then go to then transfer, I was still in the top 100, but I just wasn't at the level before. I was around 60, 65 before going into my junior year. And now my senior year, I'm around 90, 92. And to not play, so I realized, like, you know what? Maybe the NFL isn't for me. And I was anticipating having my first son that April. So I ended up coming back to Philly, and I got a job, started working at LA Fitness.
Oh wow!
Yep, started working at LA Fitness.
So at that point you thought your career was done then.
Yeah, I wasn't focused on football at all because I had to figure out something to provide. So I got a job, wasn't working out, and then I got a phone call while I was at work, and I usually don't answer my phone at work. So I ended up answering this, and it was the receiver coach. it was the receiver coach from St. Louis.
No way.
Yep, Nolan Cromwell called me and asked me if I had time to talk. Of course, I said yes. He said, all right, grab a pen and some paper. And I did that. And he asked me, was I interested in coming to rookie minicamp? Of course, I said yes.
Wow.
And then he gave me a bunch of plays to study. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, so he gave me all these plays to study. And then I had a week and a half to just get into football shape, which was tough. But I ended up getting into football shape.
I can imagine.
Had a pretty good rookie mini camp, and then they invited me back for OTAs.
Oh wow! So, what point in the NFL season did they call you? So, was it like after the draft? Is that when they called you and said, "Hey, do you want to come out for a tryout?" Is that when it happened, or what was the timeline for that?
They called me. Like after the draft, a couple days after the draft, because after the draft picks, they'll sign their preferred free agents.
Preferred free agents,
And then it was just me as I was really most likely called just to give the players that they've drafted and signed a look. I don't think I
–
because at that time, I really didn't have a big senior year. So I don't think I was called in order to really make the team. And – my first day at rookie minicamp was very stressful. I was very nervous because I go from attending Cheney University, where the most people we had in the stand was maybe 2,000 at home games, to standing in the huddle with the number one draft pick. so I'm not gonna lie, I was super nervous. I'm looking at people. I know who is who. I'm like, I just watched you play in the national championship. I just watched you go number one. And I had a
Who's the pick that year?
Sam Bradford.
Oh, Sam Bradford. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Sam Bradford, my number one.
Yeah.
And I just struggled that first day. And after that first day, Coach Cromwell pulled me into the receiver room and told me, he said, look, if I didn't think you was good enough to play on this level, we wouldn't even have gave you a phone call. We wouldn't have asked you to come out here. So go home, reset, come back out here tomorrow, and play like you belong here. Don't worry about names. Don't worry about colleges. Show your talent and what you can do. And after that conversation, I just took it to the next level, man. I mean.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Took it to the next level, especially on red zone day, because I was just super athletic. And we had a quarterback, Thaddeus Lewis. We was in the huddle together, and he looked at me, and I have a tattoo of a basketball on my arm. And he, before he called the play, he was like, "Yo, 15, you play basketball?" I was like, "Yeah." He said, "Can you dunk?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right, I'm coming to you." Call the play. It just happened to be a fade play, and he just threw it to me. Threw it up. I went up and got it. And then literally the next series, I'm in there with Sam. He threw it up. And at the end of practice, a couple coaches came up to me, was like, "Man, worked your butt off. Congratulations." They just said, "Congratulations." I didn't really know what they were talking about. I'm like, "Thank you."
Yeah.
And after we broke the team huddle on the field, when I was sitting in my locker, Doc came up to me and was like, "They want to see you upstairs." And it still didn't hit me yet until I walked up there and walked into Coach Spagnuolo's, I call him Coach Spags, walked into Coach Spags' office. And he's sitting there with a smile on his face, got up, gave me a handshake, gave me a hug, and was like, "Welcome to the team." And that's when it hit me, like, wow. Yeah, I'm like, wow, like, my dream has just been accomplished.
Just come through, yeah. How did you feel in that moment?
Oh, man, I had shaky legs. Yeah, I had shaky legs.
Good thing you were sitting, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I just had a big smile on my face.
Yeah.
But
yeah, those are. I'll go ahead.
I also realized that the journey wasn't over. It wasn't complete, because what I didn't realize was I still didn't make the actual team. I still have to make the 53, because, you know, as OTAs,
the active roster.
Yes, it's 100 people. I didn't know any of this at first. I found out while I was there. And now I'm even nervous again, because now that I come to practice, you got Steven Jackson. You have, my second year I had Cadillac Williams, but you have Steven Jackson. You have James Laurinaitis. You have, who else we had? Danny Amendola. Laurent Robinson. We had all those guys. We had Marty Gilliard. And now I'm like, man, I'm just here with these elite wide receivers, 15 of us. And
oh, wow. That's a...
I just didn't know how to separate myself at first. And it hit me when my first roommate was a receiver from Florida State. I remember looking him up, watching his highlights. He was amazing. And within 2 days, when I came into the room, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
So when I realized that, I started thinking to myself, like, what made them release him? I mean, he was all that in college. And I just realized he didn't separate himself. You got 15 receivers, and we're all fast. We're all strong. We're all can run good routes. But when you have so many, you have to figure out how can you separate yourself. That's when I really was like, I'm gonna really focus on blocking. I can catch, I can run my routes, but no receivers there was really blocking. I mean, we had Donnie Avery, who was a speed guy. So we needed to get him the ball. We had Danny Amendola, he blocks. But we needed to get him the ball. So I really started going in and blocking and running the ball, running hard, finishing strong, finishing plays. And then one day we had special teams practice, and the coach was like, "I need a scout team." And I just ran out there. But when I ran out there, I was on the interior line of punt team. I'm in punt block. And I was just killing everybody there. I kept getting through the line. If it was a game, I could have blocked the punt. But, you know, you always let up. Just kept getting through the line, kept getting through the line. And then it just was showing up on film. Special teams coach is like, "Why nobody can't block this guy? Who is he? First of all, who is he? Who is 15? Why can't nobody block 15? And then it went from that to now we did a kickoff drill. Nobody could block me on kickoff drill. Same thing. Like, who is this guy? Why nobody can't block him?
Yeah.
And I just kept working. And the next thing you know, going into the first preseason game, I only played a couple snaps with special teams, and I mean, I knocked somebody out of bounds. I was playing vice. I was playing gunner. I mean, I'm just running reckless, just trying to make a play, but also stay fundamentally sound. And going into the second preseason game, they ended up starting me on all phases. So I started on kickoff, kick return, punt team, and punt return.
Wow.
And that's kind of like I'm here. You know, usually don't start right away.
But get on all those, yeah.
But that game, it was my second preseason game. We played the Cleveland Browns. I led the team in tackles. Had two catches. Played a good game against, at the time I was going against Joe Hayden. Played solid against him as far as blocking, running routes, getting open, and blocking. I blocked well. And then going into the third and fourth preseason game, I did the same thing. I started all four phases, and I realized my time on offense kind of started moving up.
Yeah.
So, found out that I made the team. It was like, wow, man! It was even more surreal than when I actually sat down with Coach Spags. It was
with
even
Coach, yeah.
It was even crazier.
That's awesome, man. That's an awesome feeling when you finally achieve your goal and reach the pinnacle, reach the top, and you can say I'm an NFL player, man, and that's just something that not many people in this world get to say. So that's an awesome moment, an awesome showing and display of hard work, right? Doing hard work and differentiating yourself from the others, because like you said, like, all those guys, those 15 receivers, right? They can all catch, they can all run, right? They can all jump, but you got to find something, find your niche, and find that area where you can specialize and separate yourself. And you found it in blocking, and then that led to getting chances on special teams, and when you did that, that led to more time on offense. So yeah, that's awesome. Just a great story and just a journey of perseverance for sure. And again, it started by your coach coming to you and saying those positive words, man, just play, right? You're all, don't worry about the school name. Don't worry about the reputation. Yeah, don't worry about all those things that, the accolades that some of those guys might have, right? If they want to play, the best players and the guys are going to work the hardest. So just show what you can do, right? And again, once you heard that, you just, accelerated and took off from there.
A lot of highs and lows. Because even after I made the 53-man roster, I learned something new, whereas not all 53 dress. I didn't know that at first. So the very first game of the season, we played Arizona. I didn't dress. And I didn't dress. And we had a player that ended up getting hurt. So going into the second game, I did dress. And I played, which was against Oakland. And then going into the third game, I played again, which was against the Washington Redskins. And I had a great week of practice. Got in the offense in the first series, first quarter. Had a couple plays that was actually called for me. From Coach Sherman, Pat Sherman. He called some red zone plays for me because, like I said, I was very athletic. And I ended up blocking the punt against the Redskins.
Oh, nice.
Blocked the punt. But then after I blocked the punt, we threw an interception. But like a series or two later, I ended up tearing my ACL running down on punt coverage.
Oh, man.
So I was at the pinnacle. I was at the top of my game, and then it just came crashing down because of that.
Yeah. So. That's a tough part of sports. That especially football, injuries are a big part of it, and they do happen. And unfortunately, the injury bug kind of bit you there. So that's just life, though. Yeah, you have some ups and downs. You have moments and things that you can't control, but you just do what you. What you can with what you can control, and you definitely worked hard and showed there is rewards for working hard.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about life after football. So, like you mentioned, you played 4 years professionally. After your time in the NFL, you spent a year in the Arena League. So, at what point did you kind of start thinking of life after football? Was it something you thought about right off the bat, you know, being kind of a fringe player, making it as an unrestricted free agent? Was it something that was kind of always at top of mind that I might not be here next year, so maybe I should look to the future? Or was it something that you just kind of reacted to once football was finished?
Well, I did a stint in Detroit, and then I did some time with Carolina. But in Carolina, my last position was a tight end. I think that wasn't a smart decision on my behalf, because I just couldn't hold the weight. I mean, I went into training camp weighing maybe 255. When I was I was weighing about 219, 220.
Oh man, that's a big gain. Yeah.
Yeah, I just couldn't hold the weight. And I had talked to my agent. He was a great guy, and he was able to get me a contract with a Canadian football team. But I didn't.
Oh, you played up here? Okay.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't. Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't want to move that far away from my son. But in a sense, I still moved far away from him, because I ended up playing arena football for the San Jose SaberCats.
Yeah.
And I did well, was in the running for Rookie of the Year, caught an interception, had 25 catches. I had 50 catches, 25 touchdowns. I had almost 10 rushing touchdowns, interception, a few forced fumbles, a few fumble recoveries. I was just having fun out there. But going into my second year, I didn't want to continue to stay far away from my son. So I decided to stay in Philly, and they ended up trading me to the Soul. So I got a job, and that's when I realized, like, no, I got to put my family first.
Yeah.
And the Soul, I was missing practices. They were like, look, you can't keep missing practices. So it was either play football or work and provide for my family. So I chose to provide for my family.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that we all get to that point where, you know, especially when we start having family, right? Our priorities change, and what's important to us and what's most important definitely changes. So yeah, having your son there and wanting to be there for him and not miss, significant parts of his life definitely weighs on your mind when you're on the field, and you kind of start thinking, you know, is this important to me anymore? And you have to make some tough choices at some point.
Yeah.
Okay, so you left Philly and started life after football. So you're a teacher and also coaching, giving back to the youth. How'd you get into teaching and coaching?
The assistant, I played in the high school all-star football game, and the assistant linebacker coach, Eric Zate, saw me at the field training one of my players. So when he saw that, he came over to me. He was like, man, you know, what you doing? Like, you should come coach with me at Simon Gratz High School. And at first I said, nah, you know, I'm not ready to do that yet. He was like, well, if you don't want to do that, he said, you will be a great guy to have work inside the school. Mm-hmm. So when he said that to me, I started to see him more, and I started to talk to him more about it. And I ended up working in that school as a dean of students. And then I coached.
Oh, nice.
So I coached there for 4 years, and then ended up taking my son, who played youth football. I ended up coaching his youth football team, and then I took him to a football camp at St. Joe's Prep High School.
Yeah.
And there I played against the head coach and the offensive line coach. The assistant head coach. I played against them in college. They remembered me, and they just man, we would love for you to come and join our staff. And at first I told them no, because I felt like the kids at the other school needed me more. So I did say no at first, But when I started to think about it, I need to learn more about coaching. Yes, I played it, but I still wanted to be a student of the game. So eventually I talked to the coaches again, and we both agreed on bringing me on staff. And now we're ranked number 4 in the country.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's great that you're giving back and you know, teaching the younger kids you know, what you learned through the ranks and you know, sharing your knowledge with them. So that's awesome. So yeah, with our current times with COVID-19 and all that, so are you guys playing? Is that you guys actively playing still?
Yeah, we haven't played our first game yet, but we're still having the season. That's why I just got finished practice.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah, I know that certain areas are still moving forward with certain sports and stuff. So it's good that you guys are able to do that. Okay, awesome. All right, so we're at kind of at the end of the reel here. So I usually finish up with what I call kind of the top of the mountain moments, kind of looking back on your football journey and all that you've accomplished and gone through in your football career, all the highs and lows and the high great moments and the tough times. Is there a favorite moment that you have, a favorite story? Is there words of wisdom for younger kids? How would you like to finish things off here?
I would just say push through. You're going to have doubters. You're going to have people that say you're not big enough, you're not strong enough, you're not fast enough. But that should just be fuel to your fire. That's what a lot of people said to me. Coming from North Philly, there are plenty of people that said that you'll never make it. You'll never make it. Yeah. You're too slow. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I never believed them because I always believed in myself.
Yeah.
And I just made sure if I'm going to do something, no matter what it is, I'm going to always do it to the best of my ability. That's why I'm still in school I'm actually trying to get my doctorate degree. So I'm not going to stop. I've always had that mentality to push myself to the best, no matter what I'm doing.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, definitely. Great words of wisdom to, continually strive for more and for greater and to continually push yourself and to work hard and not be satisfied with the status quo and where you're at. And, it's definitely some great words for young athletes and young people in general, right? To always push themselves and move forward. So, Dominique, I just want to say thank you so much for your time. It's been a great interview. Thank you for sharing your stories and it's been a very great and inspirational story for anyone who's going through stuff. Like you said, you went from working in a store to achieving your dream of playing in the NFL. So a great inspirational story of never giving up and working hard and great things will turn about. So thank you for your time and appreciate you coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay, Dominique, take care.
Thank you for listening to After the Gridiron. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure you subscribe to the show and also leave a rating and review. By doing that, you also help to spread the word about the podcast and assist others in finding the show so more people can enjoy this great content. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, with the links to those being found on the website. Your support is very much appreciated. Also, please visit the resources page on the website for links to our sponsors and affiliates. Their support helps to keep the show running. So go to www.atgridiron.com/resources to check them out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you when we kick off our next episode.